This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون صدق الله العظيم. Respected listeners, this brings us to the final segment of the discussion pertaining to the fatal illness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his passing on, his tajheez and takfeen, that is the ghusl, burial, etc. We concluded on the aspect that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's janazah was performed individually or in groups of people, but there was no formal imam. وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ مُجْمَعْ عَلَيْهِ The scholars of hadith unanimously agree that there was no formal imam that led the congregation. Rather, people came in, the men came in, women came in, children came in, slaves came in, people came in and out in their numbers, performed their salah and moved on. We move on to the next discussion, and of course, very much in these last moments, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu features significantly because of his very matured role that he played in steering the ummah during these challenging moments. In fact, Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, Wallahi makhtalafu fi nuqta illa tara abi bi khataliha wa inaniha wa fasliha. That whenever the noble companions, may Allah be pleased with them, differed in a matter, my dad embraced the reins of the situation, eliminated the crisis, and he made a decisive decision. And surely the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the matured role played by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a testimony to that. Now came the aspect of mawqi'u dafnihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sifatu qabrihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa man bashara dafnahu wa mata dufin. So what we endeavored to speak in this final chapter is the location where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried, and then the description of his grave, because we know there are the two types of graves, the lahad and the shiq, and then man bashara dafnahu, who were the fortunate individuals who went down physically in the grave to put this greatest amanah and the greatest human into the grave, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَتَى دُفِن and the precise time in which he صلى الله عليه وسلم was buried. اختلف المسلمون في موقع دفنه فقال بعضهم يدفن عند المنبر. Yet again, amongst the noble companions, may Allah be pleased with them, there was difference of opinion regarding the location in which the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم should be buried. So some of the Sahaba were of the opinion that he should be buried adjacent to the minbar, adjacent to the minbar. And we know the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma bayna bayti wa minbari rawdatum min riyadil jannah." That between my minbar and my house is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. So some Sahaba were of the opinion that adjacent to the minbar of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is the hadith in Bukhari. مري غلامك النجار يجعل لي أعوادا أجلس عليهن. That a woman whose son was a carpenter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had instructed her that tell your son to build for me, construct for me a minbar, as the numbers had grown and the numbers had increased. And we know prior to that, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take support from the branch of a tree and he would rest on that branch, and then the minbar was built and erected for him. And then amongst the mu'jizat and the miracles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that when he moved away from the branch on which he would rest, the branch literally cried in a manner that the Sahaba heard its crying and wailing. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam then comforted it and said, are you not pleased that Allah will make you from the branches of the trees of Jannah? So the minbar of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's sacred. On that he delivered his khutbah. Between the minbar and his blessed home is a garden of Jannah. So some of the Sahaba were of the opinion that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be buried adjacent to his minbar. وَقَالَ آخَرُونَ, and other Sahaba were of the opinion, بِالْبَقِيعِ, in بَقِيعُ الْغَرْقَدِ, the blessed sacred cemetery of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would visit so often. And whenever we go to Medina, we go and visit, and every one of us desires and aspires that Allah privileges us with death in Medina and to be made to rest in the blessed graveyard and cemetery of Baqi. So some felt that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be buried in Baqi. وَقَالَ قَائِلٌ, and yet there was an opinion from amongst the Sahaba, فِي مُصَلَّاهُ, at the place of his prayer, at the place of his prayer, where he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would lead the congregation in prayer, that location should be assigned for the blessed grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once again, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, فَحَسَمَ مَدَّةَ الْخِلَافِ أَيْضًا, and he eliminated the cause of difference of opinion in this regard. And he said, مَا نَسِيتُ مَا سَمِعْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, I cannot forget what I heard from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, I impress upon myself and you, look at the wisdom and the foresight of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Surely he heard the hadith which we're going to mention. But to recall and register this hadith at that time, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. That speaks volumes on his composure and his balance amidst this crisis. There are many things we have heard, but at the right moment, we seldom recall or reflect or register those things. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, مَا نَسِيتُ مَا سَمِعْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, I have not forgotten what I heard from the Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, مَا قَبَضَ اللَّهُ نَبِيًّا إِلَّا فِي الْمَوْضِعِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَن يُدَفَنَ فِيهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the soul from a Nabi at that very location where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended and desired for the Nabi to be buried. That is the hadith that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentioned to the congregation there. اِدْفِنُوهُ فِي مَوْضِعِ فِرَاشِهِ, hence bury the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam by his bedside. Now the scholars of hadith say that there is difference of opinion on this narration in terms of its absolute tawatur and total authenticity. وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ وَإِنْ كَانَ هُنَاكَ خِلَافٌ فِي صِحَّتِهِ إِلَّا أَنَّ دَفْنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ الَّذِي تُوُفِّيَ فِيهِ أَمْرٌ مُجْمَعٌ عَلَيْهِ, that there is difference of opinion regarding the absolute tawatur and total authenticity of this narration. However, there's no difference of opinion on the fact that in terms of action, in terms of reality, in terms of what had occurred, is the fact that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried at the side of his bed where he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed on. Ibn Kathir says, قد علم بالتواتر أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم دفن في حجرة عائشة رضي الله عنها التي كانت تختص بها. This is established through tawatur, uninterrupted authenticity. So many people have narrated it. So the room, the venue per se, the room is absolutely established. But the precise location in that place, the precise location in the room and the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha, that narration does not enjoy the equal authenticity as the narration as the narrations pertaining to the room where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried. So we're talking of two aspects here. We're talking of the fact that the room and the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha was selected for this amanah to be conveyed to. Now, in that apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha, the precise location, this is what the author writes, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ وَإِنْ كَانَ هُنَاكَ خِلَافٌ فِي صِحَّتِهِ. There is some discussion in terms of academic discussion pertaining to the absolute authenticity of this narration. However, there's no two opinions on the fact that in reality he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried there. And then Ibn Kathir says that it is known through established chain that it was the exclusive apartment and room of Aisha radiallahu anha. ثم دفن فيها أبو بكر ثم عمر رضي الله عنهما. And thereafter, Abu Bakr رضي الله عنهما, who had just lived on for barely two years. And thereafter, Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, who lived on for a decade, he was also then buried in that same apartment of Aisha رضي الله عنها. Now we move on to the next discussion, and that is صِفَةُ قَبْرِهِ. What was the nature of the grave of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم? So we need to know, and perhaps we do know, that we basically speak of lahad and shiq. So lahad is a side compartment. So the hole is dug, and then there's a side compartment in the grave that is known as lahad, while shiq refers to a compartment that is dug in the middle of the grave. And both these type of graves were dug throughout the time of Sahaba. In fact, the scholars of hadith have written, وَيَجُوزُ فِي الْقَبْرِ اللحد والشق. Both the lahad, that is the side compartment, and shiq, that is the compartment in the center, both are permissible. لجريان العمل عليهما في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because the practice has been continuing from the time of Nabi عليه السلام. لكن الأول أفضل لأن الله لا يختار لنبيه إلا الأفضل. But of course, lahad would be the preferred, while shiq would be totally permissible, simply because the best is selected for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam's grave was the lahad, which is the side compartment. فَقَدْ كَانَ مُسَنَّمًا أي مُرْتَفِعًا. The grave of Nabi alayhi salam had a hump as well, right? Sinam refers to the hump. سَنَّمَ يُسَنِّمُ التَّسْنِيمُ a hump. So مُسَنَّمًا, the camel hump. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's grave had a hump as well. Now, regarding who entered the grave, who had the privilege of lowering Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the grave, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بَاشَرُوا دَفْنَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ ابْنُ إِسْحَاقُ. Regarding those who had the privilege of lowering Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the grave, the narration suggests it was Ali radiallahu anhu, it was Fadl ibn Abbas, Quthm ibn Abbas, Shukran, Mawla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the freed slave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Imam Nawawi has also added on the following names, Usama ibn Zayd and Aws ibn Khawli radiyallahu anhum. These were the fortunate and privileged individuals to lower the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the grave. And just to conclude the discussion, and that is with regards to the precise time in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried. فَقَدْ ذَهَبَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّهُ دُفِنَ لَيْلَةُ الْأَرْبِعَاءِ. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was buried on Wednesday night. So there was an interval. There was a period. Nabi alayhi salam, just to recap, Nabi alayhi salam had passed away Monday morning. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had led 17 salah. This is the preferred opinion. From Thursday night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was unable to come and formally lead. So that was the Isha of Thursday, Friday 5 salah, Saturday 5 salah, Sunday, that's 15, 16, and the Fajr of Monday, that is 17 salah. Some have gone to the opinion of 20 and other opinions, but the more preferred verdict is 17 salah. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away Monday morning at the time of duha, that is forenoon, or ba'da zawal, after zawal, when the time of dhuhr had set in. So it was 17 salah. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 63 years of age, although in Fathul Bari it's mentioned there's an opinion of 65, there's an opinion of 70, but we do know that the preferred, the authentic, the jumhur view is that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 63 years of age, and that was the same age in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had also passed on. He was 2 years junior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His khilafah barely lasted for 2 years, and then he also passed on at the age of 63. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, due to the fact that there was the appointment of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that had taken some time. So there was an interval between he sallallahu alayhi wasallam's demise and his burial. Hence the scholars of hadith say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried on Wednesday night. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِوَفَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَثَرٌ عَلَى الصَّحَابَةِ الْكِرَامِ. Words cannot adequately express the impact that the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had on the noble companions. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, which is captured and recorded by Imam Tirmidhi, وَمَا نَفَضْنَا عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ الْأَيْدِي وَإِنَّا لَفِي دَفْنِهِ حَتَّى أَنْكَرْنَا قُلُوبَنَا. That we had not even dusted the sand from our hands, from the grave of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we instantly felt the condition of our heart had somewhat changed. There was a difference in the atmosphere, the ambience, the condition of our heart, and rightfully so. That era of Nabi alayhi salam, of that nubuwa, that period had now ended. Now, just to conclude on some message and some lessons, I just want to touch on one thing here. Of course, the poet said it so beautifully, Tallahi ma hamalat untha wala wada'at mithla rasul. No woman could ever bear a child or deliver a child like he sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is the honor and the privilege of Amina radiallahu anha and the father of Nabi alayhi salam, Abdullah radiallahu anhu, that these were the blessed sacred parents selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the parents of the greatest human. But to speak on two aspects now. One is, I want to touch on seeing Nabi alayhi salam in a dream. Of course, every Muslim desires this. Every Muslim desires. Imam Malik used to say, "Ma bittu layla, ma bittu layla, illa ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." That I do not retire to bed any night but that I see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you imagine this honor? Imam Malik says, "Whenever I retire to bed, I have the privilege of seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream." And when Qa'qa Awsi rahimahullah was asked, قُلْ لَنَا شَيْئًا يُشَوِّقُنَا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Tell us something that will entice us and motivate us towards Jannah. And he didn't speak about the palatial homes and the comforts and the luxuries and all the amenities of Jannah. He said, فِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. What more do you want to know about Jannah other than the fact that in Jannah is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So Imam Yusuf Nabahani has written a chapter in his book here, and I'm just going to give you some extracts of that pertaining to the dream and the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we know the famous hadith where he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ra'ani fil manam faqad ra'ani fa inna ash-shaytan la yatamathalu bi." Whoever sees me in a dream has surely seen me. And may Allah make us amongst those fortunate people. And of course, we ask Allah that we see Nabi alayhi salam in a dream in a manner that he's pleased with us. You know, to see Nabi alayhi salam in a dream and then he rebukes us because of our wrong and our sin and our vice, then that would not be the most pleasant ways to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But to see he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, perhaps because of abundance of salutations on him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he's expressing his joy, or perhaps because of taking care of the orphans, because that was part of the mission of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, one of the last messages of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, both in his Hajjatul Wada and in his last days, was ar-rifqu bid-da'if, kindness to the weak, al-wuquf bid-da'if, to stand and support the weak and the vulnerable. So in Hajjatul Wada, he said, be kind to the woman. Be kind to the woman. Take care of them. And then in his final words, he said, As-salā wa ma malakat aymanukum. Fear Allah with regards to prayer and treatments towards your slave. So the scholars deduce from those final khutubat of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a common thread of impressing upon the ummah of kindness towards the weak and the vulnerable. And I often mention, in the world today, if you want to inject sales in your business and you want to empower it, you bring prominent people on board, you bring a celebrity on board, and you do, you know what, aggressive marketing. But when we look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you really want to motivate and you want to increase the potential of your business, or you want to inject it, then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa hal turzaquna illa bidhu'afaikum. You are sustained by the presence of the weak and the vulnerable amongst you. So bring the weak on board. Bring the weak on board. And I know of a good friend in the UK who narrated this incident to me, and I could probably use this in my closing remarks of this series on the wafat and the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the aim is to take lessons from his impeccable legacy. What can I take from here and internalize and emulate in my life? He said that I know of a person who was physically and mentally challenged, and because of that nobody would employ him, and it became a bit challenging for his parents to take care of him, and I decided to extend a helping hand to the family, and I said that I will employ your son. Of course, he would not be able to engage in anything that requires skill and competence due to the fact that he has a disability and he's challenged in different ways. And he said, I brought him on board. But lo and behold, from the day he entered my office, Allah doubled and tripled my sales. And he said, that's the time I realized the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ, that you are sustained by the presence of the weak and the vulnerable amongst you. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever has seen me in a dream has surely seen me, because the devil cannot impersonate me. The devil cannot impersonate me. Now the scholars of hadith write so beautifully, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي أي لا يستطيع ذلك لأنه سبحانه وتعالى جعله صلى الله عليه وسلم محفوظا من الشيطان في الخارج فكذلك في المنام سواء رآه على صفته المعروفة أو غيرها. They mention that Allah had protected the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the devil while he was alive. And there is that famous hadith where he sallallahu alayhi wasallam had gone at night to Baqi'ul Gharqad, and he returned and he found Aisha radiallahu anha was breathing heavy. And then he asked Aisha, what's the matter? And she said, nothing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, tell me, O Aisha, otherwise revelation will inform me. And she said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when you excused yourself from the room, I was just wondering where you went. And I thought perhaps you're going to visit one of your other spouses. And I was left humbled when I observed that you were in the cemetery in Baqi'ul Gharqad, and you were making dua for the deceased, and you were asking Allah forgiveness on their behalf. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Aja'aki shaytanuki, O Aisha, is it that your shaytan is bothering you? And Aisha radiallahu anha said, really, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do I have a devil? And Nabi alayhi salam said, everyone has a shaytan. And then Aisha radiallahu anha said, and what about you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, I have, but fa aslama aw fa uslam. It's the hadith of Muslim, and it has been pronounced in both ways. Those who understand basic Arabic will appreciate it. Aslama, he accepted Islam, meaning my devil. Aw fa uslam, majhul, I have been granted protection against his influence. So Nabi alayhi salatu was salam has been granted immunity and protection against the devil, or that he accepted Islam. Either way, the hadith has been interpreted in both the possibilities, but in essence, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was protected from the devil. So just as he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was protected from the devil while he was alive, likewise, post his demise, the devil cannot impersonate the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in any way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those fortunate people that we can see Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in a dream. We ask Allah to make us among those fortunate people that we take to the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to wrap up my series on one of the final messages of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The verse I recited was the last verse of the Quran revealed to Nabi alayhi salam. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and fear that day where you will all return to Allah. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ, every soul will be compensated in full. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ, and they will not be exploited or oppressed in the least. One of the last messages of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, I had once given a talk and we titled it A Message for All from the Messenger of All. A message for all from the Messenger of all. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, I am a messenger to all. And the Quran is universal. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. In the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم حجة الوداء. And I want to conclude on this note and you know, remind myself and make an appeal to everyone out there. He صلى الله عليه وسلم had made in his حجة الوداء the statement that ألا كل شيء من أمر الجاهلية موضوع تحت قدمي. That all the practices of the era of darkness have been placed beneath my feet, and we've closed that chapter, we're done with it, we're moving forward. So don't claim anything of the past, we've concluded that, we've wrapped it up, and we are moving ahead. Now, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then further said that I also put an end to all the unjust killing and murder that had taken place in the era of darkness. I put an end to all the unjust killing and murders that had taken place. وَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ دَمٍ أَضَعُ مِن دِمَائِنَا. And the first unjust murder that I am closing the chapter on, and that no revenge will be sought for from the perpetrators, is the murder that occurred in my own family. And here I'm referring to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Damubni Rabi'at ibn al-Harith. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle was Harith, who was the father of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. His son was Rabi'a, who was the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabi'a's son, which is not mentioned in the hadith, the name is not mentioned. Ibn Rabi'a, the son of Rabi'a. كَانَ مُسْتَرْضَعًا فِي بَنِي سَعَدْ. He was being suckled and nursed in the tribe of Banu Sa'ad, the very tribe that nursed and suckled our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nephew, Harith was his uncle, Rabi'a was his cousin. His cousin's son, which is like the nephew of Nabi alayhi salam, was being nursed in this tribe. فَقَتَلَتْهُ هُذَيْلٌ. The tribe of Hudayl had killed this child and claimed the life of this child. So the family of Nabi alayhi salam, the Banu Hashim, the family of Nabi alayhi salam had a right to claim the diyah, the money, and to avenge this death of this innocent child. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I have put an end to all the unjust killings, and I'm starting off by pardoning the perpetrators who killed my nephew. And then he said all the types of interest and usury and money that was taken and exploitation that had taken place, I have put that beneath my feet. And the first type of money that I'm cancelling that is not owed is the money that was owed to my uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu. Prior to Islam, Abbas radiallahu anhu would give money, and then, you know, the practice was there to take interest and usury. I've closed that chapter. Nobody owes any money to my uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu. And I have pardoned the tribe of Hudayl that have claimed the life of my nephew. The message I'm saying to myself, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the victim and he was forgiven. It's easy to pardon when you're the victor. It's easy to pardon when you're the perpetrator. You've done the wrong and you say, let's start on a clean slate. Let's start fresh. There are hundreds of people out there that have been wronged by others. And let me also say, only Allah knows the truth. I might assume myself to be a victim and the other person to be a victor. I might assume that I'm on the receiving end and he's on the giving end, or she's on the giving and I'm on the receiving. That only Allah will decide. The concluding verses of the 18 juz, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ fitna. We've made one a trial for the other. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the disbelievers are there to test your sabr, and you have been sent to test there. Compliance and their obedience and their submission. This is how it's expounded in the footnotes of Tafsir al-Uthmani. Atasbirun, will you all persevere? Wa kana rabbuka basira, your Lord is watchful that who is inflicting and who is receiving. So my concluding message from these series on the final moments in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that just as our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam's final words, and he wrapped up his life asking to forgive and to pardon, and he commenced by those who had perpetrated against him. He was on the receiving end. His own nephew was killed and he said, we had forgiven. His old uncle was owed money and he said, we had concluded. If we start off on that note, where we muster the courage to pardon those that have wronged us, then hopefully we can change the demographics. Hopefully we can change the planet. Hopefully we can make a difference. Somebody said, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm intelligent, so I'm changing myself. And somebody said in the Urdu language, people change their homes, people change their jobs, people change their, you know, holiday destinations, but they're still not happy. They're still not happy. Aadmi apna dost badalta hai, ghar badalta hai, gaari badalta hai, phir bhi pareshan kyun rehta hai? Kyunki khud nahi badalta. You wonder, but I've improved, I've changed, I've upgraded my phone, I've upgraded my house, I've changed so many things, but I'm still not happy, I'm miserable. The reason is, my brother and my sister, we've changed everything, but we have not changed ourselves. And what did the Urdu poet say? He say, he addresses himself and he says that, this is the mistake I made my whole life. This is the mistake I made my whole life. That the scar and the pigmentation was on my face and I'm cleaning the mirror. Dabba chahre pe tha aur aina saaf karta raha. So I'm cleaning the mirror, but the scar is on my face. So my message in concluding, in my concluding remarks is that let us effect the change in our life. Let me be the change that I want to see in others. And inshallah, hopefully, if we take those steps and we effect the change, then people will be attracted to the beautiful teachings of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah preserve our iman. May Allah take us from this world with iman. And may we be amongst those fortunate individuals to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.